For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and today, inspiration as well. I got a true special guest with an incredible story. I mean, this guy is amazing. His name is Nick Santonastaso, 21 years old, maybe never heard of him before, and he's competing in his first bodybuilding competition this Saturday, tomorrow, September 9th in Tampa, Florida. He's competing in the Iron Bay Classic. And it's a big deal. And the reason why it's a big deal is because Nick was born without both of his legs, without an arm, and all but one finger on his left hand. He truly gives new meaning to the word unbelievable, especially when you see him in action in the gym. His story is inspiring. It's incredible. His positivity and energy are infectious. And if his name sounds sort of familiar, it's because you might have seen him pull some of his pranks on Vine. He had over 1 million followers on Vine before it shut down. And thanks to some of the crazy pranks he pulled on people, including Norman Reedus of The Walking Dead, Nick is going to tell us the story behind that prank. It's hilarious, and a few of his other favorites. You'll also hear about the rare disorder he was born with that resulted in him having no legs and just one arm with a single finger, and how despite his limitations, he became a wrestler in high school, plays the drums, and then got into bodybuilding. That's right, super inspirational guy and story. You think you're having a rough day? You got nothing compared to Nick Santonastaso. And his story fits in perfectly with my new book. No is a four-letter word. It's enough to get you working on achieving your dreams, whatever they may be. 20 principles on how you too can achieve your dreams and make your goals happen. The Vince McMahon principle, work hard and work then work harder. The Brian Pillman principle, you got to do something different. The Paul Stanley principle, eliminate negativity. The Mike Damone principle, wherever you are, that's the place to be. You are going to learn from this book, and plus it's surrounded by a bunch of ridiculous stories, as you know and love from Chris Jericho books. No is a four-letter word. Buy it now at bookstores everywhere. Go to Amazon, buy it there. And if you're going to be in Oshawa, Ontario, the Toronto area, September 18th, I will be at Indigo Bookstore in Oshawa, 7 p.m. Come on out and get your book signed. The signings have been great. Huge turnouts in all the cities, including Los Angeles, just a few nights ago. Thanks to everybody in L.A. who came out. Everybody in Ridgewood, New Jersey. That was a crazy signing. 1,300 people were there. 1,300 people just to see my dumbass. And then we had a great signing in Tribeca Barnes & Noble, Tampa Barnes & Noble, Orlando Barnes & Noble, Northeast Wrestling Under the Stars had a great signing there up in Wapping Your Falls, New York. So thanks to everybody who's bought the book, everyone who's enjoying it. If you haven't bought it, go check it out. You can buy it at my Amazon store, amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. Check it out. You won't regret it. No more signings after the Oshawa, though, because Fozzy's about to hit the road again. Judas Rising Tour is back, with Judas being number one on Octane. It was voted the biggest song of the summer, which is huge. Over 8.5 million views on YouTube for Judas, and it's not stopping. The highest chart position it's ever been in on rock radio, all the way up to number 18, number 14 on another rock radio chart. So Judas, the Judas Effect, is still rolling on. The tour begins September 26th in Clarksville. Take the last train to Clarksville at the Warehouse. September 27th, Fort Wayne, Indiana at Pierre's. Come on, check us out, guys. We need your help. And Pierre's. Come and see us. Come rock with us. September 28th, Columbus, Ohio at A&R Bar. September 29th, we got the WRIF Riff Fest in Detroit, Rock City. September 30th, Libertyville, Illinois at the Austin Fuel Room. October 1st, Janesville, Wisconsin at the Sonic Boom Festival. Then we go to Buffalo, Niagara Falls. October 3rd at Rapids Theater. October 4th, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania at the Chandelier Lobby. October 5th, Worcester at the Palladium. October 6th, Wilmington, Delaware at the Queen. October 7th, Wilmington, Wilmington, North Carolina. Two Wilmingtons in a row at the Muse. October 8th, we finish off this short run with Gemini Syndrome. Winston-Salem at the Ultra Saloon. Then we're going all the way over to Europe. European tour, October 27th, starting in Birmingham. October 28th, Dublin. 29th, Belfast. October 31st, happy Halloween at Chester, England. Manchester on November 1st. London on the 2nd. Sheffield on the 3rd. Glasgow on the 4th. Glasgow is going to sell out very quickly here, very soon. If you don't have your ticket for Glasgow, don't wait on the fence. It's going to sell out in the next couple weeks, so don't wait. The 5th in Newcastle. Then we go over to Europe, the mainland. 7th in Amsterdam. 8th, Aschaffenburg, Germany. 9th is Pratteln in Switzerland. Roncade, Italy on the 11th. Rome on the 12th. Vienna on the 14th. Munich on the 15th. Essen on the 16th. Hamburg on the 17th. And Genk, Belgium on the 18th. Okay, and we're doing VIP meet and greets at all of those shows, at all those gigs. You get to meet the band. You get to take a picture with us. You get to ask us questions. And you get to see a private mini concert that only you get to see, us playing some of our favorite cover songs, some Fozzy songs you won't hear during the night. It's a bonus Fozzy concert just for you. Don't you miss out. All those other VIP meet and greets, they pale in comparison to the Fozzy VIP experience. Go check it out at FozzyRock.com and come rock with us. All right.
This is Talk is Jericho.
Okay, so I think it was it Micah Rotundo or something. Rotundo. Anyways, a friend of mine has an Instagram, and she had just done an interview with you,
yeah,
with Nick Santos here, and it really blew my mind because you're doing a bodybuilding contest or getting ready for one, but you have no legs. No hands and one arm with a finger, basically, yeah, is what you have. And it blows my mind that you're doing a bodybuilding contest, Nick, which is how you got big arm there. I mean, you look great, dude.
Thank you. How
can you do, just start right off the bat, how can you train with just one arm and a finger?
So it was just trial and error. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that reflects on my whole life because everything I did was just falling on my face and getting up and figuring how to do it Nick's way. So, you know, it was going into the gym with my friends or my trainers or my buddies and basically just figuring out how I was going to hit muscles the way I could hit muscles, you know, body alignment, isolation, just very, very focused when I go into the gym and just making sure I'm hitting the right parts so I build that symmetry and I could build, you know, my body parts the way they need to be built on both sides, regarding like my shorter arm here, just making sure I hit things correctly. So it's a lot of focus in going to the gym and just making sure I get the most out of my workout.
Because noticing, yeah, like at first I thought, but you do have another arm. It's just a very, like you said, you call it your shorter arm.
Yes.
It's like a very short little...
Looks like a potato.
Potato, yeah.
That's what I call it.
So just explain to people, why do you have no legs and a short arm,
yeah,
and a long arm?
So I was born with Hanhart syndrome. Hanhart syndrome. And what Hanhart syndrome is a super rare genetic disorder that either leaves the babies with undeveloped limbs or undeveloped organs. I was the 12th baby in the world at the time that ever had this syndrome, and they told my parents, you know, he's got a 30% chance to live. We don't know if he's going to be born with undeveloped organs. They knew that I had undeveloped limbs. They just didn't know how my organs were. So I was born, and they did a test on my organs, and they were 100% healthy. And that's why we're always living in a state of gratitude, man, and that's so important. So that's what it is. It's a super rare genetic disorder called Hanhart syndrome.
Only 12
at the time, yes.
At the time, in the whole world,
I was a 12th baby,
dude. Like there's like that's 5 billion people, and there's only 12 people that have Hanhart syndrome.
Yes,
unbelievable. So you grew up with this disease, obviously. You know, it's like people say sometimes, well, how do you live on a farm? Well, if you grew up on a farm and know nothing else, that's your farm. This way. So when did you start realizing that you were different from other kids?
So, you know, and that has to do with the way my parents raised me. You know, immediately when I could comprehend, my parents were like, you know, Nick, the world's not going to stop for you because you're born with this disability. You know, you're going to have to go throughout the world and figure out how to do things Nick's way. So like, for example, they put food in front of me and say, figure it out. Or, you know, here's your clothes, figure it out. And middle school was when I finally realized I was different. You know, middle school, high school, the most judgmental times of your life. And that's when I realized I was different. And that mm-hmm. that's my lowest point in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the kids teasing you and stuff like that or whatever?
I didn't love myself. I wasn't comfortable in my body. You know, I always tell people my confidence level was at zero in middle school. And, you know, I was out of shape and I was just, the big question was why? Why was I born like this? Why do I have to go through all these challenges? And, you know, these kids don't know what I'm going through. And I was out of shape and I just didn't want to go in public. I didn't want to do anything because the bottom line, dude, I was disgusted with my body. You know, I didn't like it and I didn't want to go in public. I didn't want to look in the mirror. So I always categorize that as my lowest point.
Was it hard? Like, you know, because as we say now, like watching some of your stuff and doing some research, like then we're get into all this stuff. You're training, you're wrestling, like a high school wrestling, playing drums, yes. Making these crazy videos on Vine and other ways where you're basically like just coming out of the shadows and scaring the shit out of people. You know, I'm obviously you're very comfortable with who you are now.
Yes.
As a person and totally have no issue at all with your body, like you said.
That's confidence. And I'm actually writing a book.
Nice.
And my book, hopefully I'm going to hold myself accountable. I want to get my book published before November. And it's going to be basically just about confidence and how I implemented, how it's a skill. It's not just something that you have. It's a skill. And it's how I implemented confidence in all the areas of my life to get me to where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So wrestling changed my life. A little quick story about wrestling. So when I was a sophomore, my shorter arm, my right arm, was a little bit longer. It looked like a chicken wing at the time, not a potato. So the bone was growing faster than the skin.
Mm.
And it was very sensitive. Like I couldn't bang it on anything. And my older brother was a wrestler for the high school. He was out of high school at the time, but he was a wrestler. And at the time, all my best friends were wrestlers. And I came home one day and said, Mom and Dad, I want to try wrestling. I want to be a wrestler. And my mom and dad were like, what about your arm? I said, let's cut it off.
Mm.
And they were like, Nick, come on. I was like, no. So that's what we did. We scheduled the amputation and I got my arm lasered off and they put a bunch of skin so I could wrestle. So my sophomore year, I went through the rehab, just the recovery of my arm. And then junior year, I went out for my wrestling team.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know, everything in life, from when I was born, you know, there was a huge long list of limitations. You know, the doctors gave my parents kind of like handed it over and said, you know, your son's not going to be able to do this, that, you know, all that stuff. And you know, growing up, I carry a chip on my shoulder kind of just to prove people wrong. So going into wrestling, people are like, Nick, you know, you can't be an athlete, you know. And I was like, I'm not going to be an athlete. I'm going to be a varsity athlete. So junior year, I got my butt kicked. You know, I told my buddies, I was like, beat me up. I need to learn everything, you know, adapt, you know, just so I can become a better wrestler in my situation. And, you know, I want to follow back and just give a little bit perspective. The only limitation I saw that I had was the fact that my arm hurt. It wasn't the fact that I had no legs and one arm, because I was confident in my ability and my hard work that my hard work in the room would make up for my lack of limbs. I was confident.
You know what I love about this, and this is obviously a completely different world, but I can completely understand what you're saying and what you're empathize. Because like I said, I'm not comparing, but I think even when I started wanting to be into wrestling, I just wrote a book about it, about I wanted to be a wrestler and I wanted to be in a rock and roll band. You'll never do it. You can't do it. Which just made me go, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it at the highest of levels. Well, how are you going to do it? You're only 5'10". I don't care. I'll find a way. I'll do it. I'm not worried about what you think. So it's the same attitude as what you're having.
Absolutely.
You don't care what anybody thinks because you want to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, when I speak and I'm like, you know, it sounds mainstream, but like the only limits you have are the ones you put on yourself, you know, and I never let anything hinder me or my mindset or ever let anyone's opinion of what they, you know, where I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you if I listened to all those people, right?
Right.
I would not be here. I wouldn't have my speaking company. I wouldn't be modeling. I wouldn't be bodybuilding. I wouldn't be doing all this stuff if I just listened to all these people. They're like, you can't do that.
And I wouldn't be here either, talking to me.
Exactly. Isn't that crazy?
No, just hold on a second. You just drop, like, obviously you have the same attitude that I do. Like, you're going to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned about five things, but let's just go back to wrestling for a second. So I'm not a varsity wrestler.
Yes.
But the idea is when you start, don't you start like on all fours and the guy goes and you kind of start, like, how are you starting the matches?
So when you start a match, you start neutral. So that's just on the line, shake hands, and you go.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on when the round ends or when you go out of bounds, I would go on bottom and I would just put my arm out. Like, I'd sit on my butt like they do and I'd just put my arm out. And that's how they start, with their elbow, their hand on my elbow, and we go from there. Or if I was on top, I would just come behind them and I'd be on the floor and I'd have my one arm around their stomach and try to get, and then we'd start there. I started pretty normal.
How did you do in your matches?
So my junior year, I had no idea what I was doing. And like I said, all the things that I do in life, I had no idea what I was doing. I just did it with confidence until I knew what I was doing. So I I just got my butt kicked a bunch of times and just figured out where I could be strong. And I figured out, you know, what I would needed to do to become a varsity wrestler. And for me, if I was on the varsity lineup, it would be important for me to not give up the full 6 points, which is a pin, which is going to your back. And so I would practice back bridges for like 45 minutes.
Mm.
And I'd hold myself up on my neck.
And your neck and then your bottom,
yeah,
part
and my
of your
butt,
body?
Yeah.
Your butt, right?
Yeah. And I would just strengthen my neck because I knew that if I went to my back, I was going to try my best not to give up the six points. And it's funny, I wrestled a district or a region placer, which is you have districts. If you win districts, you go in the regions. I wrestled a region placer and he couldn't pin me. And it was mm-hmm. it was a great moment in my
so
life.
So just not getting pinned was almost a victory.
Oh, it was a victory yeah. for the team. Yeah, yeah. Because I, you know, there was kids on my team that would go out and give up 6 points and I wasn't. So yeah. So wrestling, it changed my life because senior year, I came out as the Central Regional 106 pounder varsity for my high school. And that's when I found my why. And the reason I say that is I wasn't the greatest wrestler. My varsity record was like 3-16. But I had 3 wins, and yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So how are you getting your 3 wins?
So I got a couple wins off more points, so like takedowns, and then I pinned a kid in a cradle. I don't know if you know what a cradle is, but it's when you bring their knee to their head. And pinch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say, like, you know, like, I'm sure, you know, people can be mean. Like, are people yelling at you and calling you, like, names and stuff? Like, if you beat, like, a guy with 2 arms and 2 legs, is he pissed off? Like,
I would be.
Yeah, right.
I would be. But when I lost, I was pissed off. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the competitive side to me. And like I said, I wasn't the best wrestler, but the gymnasiums would be packed to see me wrestle. And as an 18-year-old kid, I didn't realize why until I came off the mat. And I would have parents and kids come up to me and be like, hey, you know, my son or daughter never wanted to do a sport. And seeing you out there, like, having fun and giving your all, like, they want to do all these sports. And I have parents, like, crying and thanking me. And I'm like, this 18-year-old kid, and I'm like, whoa, you know, like, stop. Like, I found my why. Mm-hmm, like, look what I'm doing. I'm impacting people. And, you know, to give value to other people is the end goal.
Mm.
The bottom line, you know, if you can give value to a mass amount of people, you're winning in life. You're crushing it. So just me finally realizing that, like, I'm impacting all these people by just, like, you know, doing something that I wanted to do and pursuing something that I wanted to do. And that's how the pranking came.
Let's talk about that, because there's some crazy videos.
Thank
of, like
you.
I said, like, the one I saw, the lady in the grocery aisle. And what Nick does is you, like, hide me on the aisle, and then you come out and just run at people.
Yeah.
And the lady's, like, trying to hit you with the broom.
Yeah.
Like, tell me about that.
So, you know, as I realized the impact I have in wrestling, the app Vine came out, and Vine was an app where you can post 6-second videos.
It was, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Back in the old days of 2014 or whatever the hell it was, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, I thought to myself, you know, okay, Nick, you're impacting people with the wrestling. Let's find out a way where you can make these kids laugh, but make them feel comfortable at the same time. So, I wanted to figure out, not only did I want to do something that has never been done in the world, because I knew if I posted something that no one else could do, because, like, use my situation as an advantage, that it would go viral and I'd have an outlet. And, you know, my goal with Vine was to inspire and entertain. If just one kid or if one adult could see, you know, look how happy Nick is, you know, crawling around Walmart pretending to be a zombie or, like, just smiling. Like, if I can impact one kid, I'm winning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I put my first zombie prank, I posted it. I was a senior in high school. I expected it to get like 500 likes.
What did you just do? You did it yourself?
I went to Walmart with a couple buddies. We put like fake blood on me and I scared someone and I didn't expect anything of it. And I woke up and had 80,000 likes, over 80,000 revines, and it went internationally viral.
Hmm.
I was getting, you know, teen, NJ teen, disabled teen, turning disability into positive, like all these titles and just all these news places. And in under a year, I gained 1 million fans. I gained a million followers on Vine. And I was that zombie kid. I was the zombie king. And that led me to getting hired by Fox International to scare Norman Reedus of The Walking Dead in Tokyo, Japan.
And why did they hire you to do that?
Because no one else could do it like me.
They just wanted to have him. They just wanted to pull a joke.
They wanted to pull a prank, and I was the right guy.
So they just had this idea.
Andrew Lincoln, yeah. His buddy, they were like, yo, we need to prank Norman somehow. And they found me, and they were like, you're the man.
So where did you go to do this?
They flew me out to Tokyo, Japan.
Why were they in Tokyo?
Because they were doing press release for their new season.
Mm-hmm.
So, funny, they flew me in. I stayed at the Ritz in Tokyo, And I remember Fox telling me, you cannot go out of your hotel room because Norman Reedus already knows who you are from your videos. If he sees you're here, he's going to know something's up.
Oh, so he was a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
We were mutual fans. And it's funny, if you watch the video, when I scared him, he's like, he goes, you bastard. He's like, I already know about you. I blasted you off to the universe, because he would share my stuff.
Right.
And then just a couple of weeks ago, he actually shared one of my fitness videos now. He's like, bro, like, you're doing this now. You're amazing. And it's just crazy how, like, you know, everyone knew me from my pranking.
But like you said, though, if you had a million, you know, followers, that's a lot of people. The word is going to get out there.
Yeah.
So tell me more. So you're staying at the Ritz in Tokyo. You can't go out of your room. So tell me about the prank.
So they're like, all right, like, you know, I was already following them on Instagram. So like, I was in my hotel room, and then next thing I know, I see Norman post a picture of his hotel room. I'm like, I'm in the same hotel as him. Like, I cannot leave. So like, you know, I had people, they would take me through like the secret corridors of the hotel and everything. And, they rented out like four rooms to do the hotel, and Greg Nicotero came in, you know.
I met Greg at Metallica a couple months ago in Atlanta,
Greg, so I met Greg, and Greg did my makeup, and it took about 4 hours for the makeup, but it was the most amazing experience ever. You know, we're looking out at the views of Mount Fuji. We could see Mount Fuji from our hotel, and I'm like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm. So he puts 4 hours of prosthetics. Yes. So you look like the zombie.
And I look like a real zombie, and they, you know, I was like, can I walk around the hotel like this? They're like, no, like, you'll freak people out. Like, this is too real. Mm-hmm. So Norman thought he was going in an interview. So they sent him down in a room. I had an earpiece in, and I wasn't in the room at the time. And we had like a control room with a bunch of cameras. Andrew Lincoln was in my ear with an earpiece. My parents were there. I flew my parents out. And Norman goes in, and they say, you know, Norman, I'm sorry, like, the camera aren't working. We have to go switch out the battery. So they leave, and then Norman's in this room by himself, and they're like, I'm in a trolley, and there's snacks on top of the trolley, but I'm under it. And they say, Norman, like, if you're hungry, you know, like, here's some food. And here I am, like, you know, there's a curtain here, and I'm like, Norman Reedus is on the other side sitting there. He was playing Candy Crush. And I'm like, what happens if, because my zombie scream, I'm like, what happens if I don't get anything out? Like, I come out, and it's just like, I'm like, oh, no. So next thing you know, Andrew's in my ear. He goes, go, Nick, go. And I come out, I go, rah! And I get a scare. I'm surprised I got a scare at him. He jumped.
He jumped, didn't he?
He did. And he called me a bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was successful. And then everyone came in. And
what did he say to you after?
He was like, you bastard. He's like, we hugged. He's like, I love you, man. He's like, I already knew about your stuff. He's like, you're amazing.
That's great.
We're mutual fans. So
yeah.
It was an amazing experience. And then we got to like tour around Tokyo with them afterwards for the week.
So has there been other people of celebrity that know your work?
I'm sure there's a lot of celebrities that know my work that I just don't know that they know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of, you know, famous athletes that follow me, you know, with my speaking company. I'm building my speaking company. So I would love to go speak in the NFL, you know, speak to the teams, like, you know, because I'm an athlete. And the thing with me is, the beautiful thing about me is, you know, I can come up here and speak, and you don't know if I'm BSing, but like, it's real. You can't buy a fit body. Like, I'm doing this. It's real, man. And for me, you know, I want to talk to the NBA, the NFL, the MLS, everything, because I can relate on a whole new level with these athletes, because I'm an actual athlete. You know, I think it's an amazing opportunity to be able to, you know, not only show these guys what I'm doing business wise, but to be like, bro, like, look at this kid, what he's putting out in the gym. Like, dude, we're going to change the world. We're going to change the world. That's
you're talking about for positivity or for believing in yourself. Like, what kind of lessons do you want to impart in the athletes that you're talking to?
Everything from, you know, like I said, confidence, because everyone at least one point in life is struggling with confidence or has, and you know, and to show people that it's a skill, it's something that you need to work on over a long period of time. You know, the 10,000 hour rule, right? You need 10,000 hours to craft your skill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, confidence is a skill. And, you know, I go through my life story showing them that I didn't have confidence. I didn't know what I was doing in the fitness world, but I was confident in my ability to reach my vision. I was confident in my ability that I knew I was going to gain the knowledge where I needed to gain the knowledge, and I was going to become that. I was going to organically become what I was going to become.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew anything about fitness modeling or bodybuilding, but now people know me as a bodybuilder and a fitness model. I never did any speeches, you know, but I found topics that I was passionate about, and I spoke about it with confidence. Now I'm booked all over the world for speaking.
Mm.
Like, confidence is that's why I'm writing the book on confidence, because it's a major, it's a game changer. So talk about, you know, to these athletes about confidence, but to show them, you know, consistency in the stuff that I go through, the sacrifice with my arm that I went through, you know, cutting my arm off.
That's
just
amazing.
To
cut your arm off, right? Yeah, wow.
You got to do what you got to do.
Was like, I mean, I guess you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want, but the doctor was totally cool with it and understood the reason why?
Yes. I told the doctor, I said, my goal is to be a wrestler, and I cannot be a wrestler if my arm hurts. Mm-hmm. We need to take care of this. This mm-hmm. needs to get... And they said, okay, we're going to laser it off and put some cushion on you and see how it goes. And it was best decision of my life.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Listening to Talk is Jericho.
Let me ask you this: I'm looking at you. Have, like you said, you have one finger, so you don't have a thumb. A thumb. So how do you write?
Like this.
With your,
I trap the you have a the, I trap the pen
between here. Your short arm and my cheek
and my chin
and write that way.
Yep.
Unbelievable. So what about driving? Do you drive?
I drive. I drove here.
Okay. How do you do that?
I have a car, and basically I drive a regular steering wheel. I have a little monitor here for like the blinkers and whatnot, but I use. Like I said, some of the stuff I don't even need. I do everything on my own. And then I have like, it's kind of like a boat lever. So like I'm driving like one hand on the wheel and then I push forward for gas and pull back for brake.
I mean, that has to be completely custom made.
Yes. So like my first car had to be like prescribed by the state, like all the adaptations that they think I needed. But now going on, I have like the certificate that I have a car. So like my next car that I'm going to buy, I could just put like a simple hand control for like, you know, people that are paralyzed. They just put hand controls.
Right.
That's all I'm going to have.
So interesting. So talking about this. So prescribed by the state. So what did you have to do? Go for a meeting and say this is what I have.
They write it out. Like yeah, like they just like kind of an evaluation, evaluating me and seeing what they think I need.
That's unbelievable.
You know, then again, they're always going to think I need more because you know, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So like my first car has got a lot more adaptions and a lot more money into it than I'm ever going to need in all my other cars. So
right.
I'm excited for my next cars. I don't have to put like a lot of money into it.
That's amazing. Though.
Yeah.
And you travel around in a wheelchair, but in most of your videos and stuff, you're basically just moving around on your own without the wheelchair.
Yeah, so in the gym at home, I'm not in the wheelchair. I mean, the wheelchair is strictly to get in and to get into the store or get out of the store, or like I don't like walking on concrete or anything that like you know, cuts up my hand. So
gotcha. It's because that's basically how you're moving, is just on your hand.
Yeah, my hand.
Gotcha. So where your legs are, is it just kind of like
it's
just
thigh? No, I have thighs.
I see you have some movement in there.
So I have thighs, quads.
Gotcha.
So I'm actually. When I was about 14, I got into prosthetic legs and it was the one thing physically I wasn't strong enough to do it. And that didn't really click now, but now that I'm in fitness, like it's been in the back of my head. So I've made a lower body routine for me. I do squats. I do everything.
Mm.
I'm gonna get back in my legs. I'm gonna crush that too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just on the list.
How do you do squats though?
Just with a hack squat bar.
Uh-huh.
So the hack squat bar, it comes over your traps and has handles.
Yeah.
And basically I'd because I have a standing position on my thighs, like you have your relaxed and then you're sitting.
I see.
So I go, it's basically like good mornings. Like it hits my core, it hits my lower back, and it hits my quads.
So is that your goal, is to kind of build up the squats so you can walk on the prosthetic legs? Or is that stronger?
Not only to walk on the prosthetic legs, but just whip out my quads and be like, look at my massive quads. Like I don't skip leg day.
Now let me ask you this. So like I know like I broke my arm back in 94, which took away that arm. So to do weights with just one hand is hard because you need the anchor of both. So what do you do? Like, let's say, I mean, biceps, I can see you just do with one arm, but let's say you want to do chest exercises.
Chest.
What do you do with your shorter arm?
So everything, I moved to Tampa about a little over 2 months ago and I've grown like a weed since switching up my training and really dropping the weight and focusing on the movements.
Mm-hmm.
So me, like I said, it's a lot of focus. It's just making sure I'm even, making sure that, you know, sometimes I forget, like I take away this hand and I just pretend that I have both short arms.
Mm-hmm.
So like for flies or for like chest press, I just make sure that I'm.
But what are you attaching the short arm to?
Sometimes, mostly my buddy's hand.
Gotcha.
Resistance training,
gotcha.
Which is killer, like resistance training. So like we'll do like. Pauses at the top, and then we'll do negatives where he slams down on me and I have to like fight up. Like that type of training is going to build. It's all about just breaking through that muscle fiber. So like
sure.
The different ways of training and from him, you know, with both of my hands, like with both of his hands, like holding down both sides for flies, like we get the greatest.
You know what's interesting to me is like I'm looking at you and you're chest is like perfectly proportioned. It's almost like I'm watching Forrest Gump where it's CGI. Without, you know what I mean? Like, remember when Lieutenant Dan has no legs, but it looks like right now that you look, that your short arm is just CGI. Like, you really have two arms, like, just by the way that your chest is. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have better.
Well, it's funny you said that, because, like, I'm already thinking about, you know, like, who says I can't go in mainstream acting?
Why not?
You know, I've been already thinking of parts. Like, I want to be, like, a general, like, sitting in a wheelchair, but it's not fake. It's real, because
it's real.
I'll be jacked.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's real. Or I want to be a villain and having them attach, like, a machine gun to this arm. Right?
Why
like,
not,
I
right?
got so many ideas, and they're going to happen. It's just...
Let me ask you this. So you're talking, like if I'm hanging out with the Big Show, for example, he's like 7 foot tall giant, or Great Khali, the actual giant, people stare. Like, it's really bad. You can see, like, just looking at these, like, especially, like, in Japan. So what's it like for you when you're walking down the street? People staring at you, like, who is this guy? What's wrong with him?
It's funny you brought up Japan. It's because my whole tattoo is actually Japanese culture. That's how I fell in love with Japanese culture.
Right.
And it's funny you said that, because from him being tall, so me going to Tokyo, Japan, the one thing that I came out of it, I wrote a paper on it for high school. No one stared at me. No one. I never got any disrespectful looks or anyone pointing or anything. But he's going to get stared because he's taller. That's a whole different thing. Mm. But like, as a respect in their culture, they would never. I didn't get any looks
because of the way your body is, the deformities.
Yeah, they were just cool. Like, didn't care. That's why.
So how about in the States?
Yeah. Like I said, now, I mean, with where my confidence is at, my body, I don't know if the girls are looking at me because I'm weird or because I'm that good looking. But I do get stares. But you know, I am a totally different person, mindset, mentally. You know, I have so much confidence, and you know, I don't care anymore. You know, like, you can stare at me, and like I said, you know, someone could stare at you. You can have no idea if they're staring at you, because like, how does that kid lift weights? How does that kid look muscular? Or just because they're curious, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, perspective is everything. And having a variety of perspective on everything and just understanding how other people think is a game changer.
Mm.
So, like, you know, just technically putting yourself in their shoes and seeing why are they doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the actions behind people. So, you know, I don't care anymore.
What about for little kids?
They don't know better.
Yeah.
Little kids. And you know, it's important. You know, I would love to go up to them or talk to the mom and be like, hey, you want to, like, just, like, introduce yourself?
Kids
just
would
let them know.
Like, yeah, kids would be like, why are you like that or whatever?
Yeah, that's totally fine, you know? And the one thing that, you know, the parents should tell these kids, should get them to, you know, that's why it's important to me to connect with these kids and, you know, speak at the schools, because there's not many people like me. And if I can just connect with these kids.
12 in the world.
yeah. For the rest of their life, they'd be like, oh, there's a kid like Nick that looks like that. Like, normal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
so I was showing my kids the some of the videos. I have 11-year-old twins, and they're watching, and they're like really like impressed, like, oh my gosh, look what he's doing. I think it's like you said, it is very inspirational, you know.
Yeah.
Was there ever times like in high school or whenever where someone was mean to you and you got the upper hand or some kind of insult that you gave them or something like that?
I get a question a lot about bullying. Mm. I have to say, you know, I'm not being cocky. I had the most amazing set of friends that I could ever ask for throughout my whole entire life. And, you know, all my friends were stud wrestlers. I don't think anyone was messing around with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful. Like I said, I'm extremely grateful. Even now, the people that I surround myself with, I'm just grateful. It takes a village. And, you know, people got my back. I got people's back. So that was never an issue for me, which, like I said.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. There's a great video that I saw where you were with another guy. I'm assuming he was on your wrestling team, and he jumps over a garbage can.
Yeah.
You say, I can do that.
Yeah.
And he says, you got no legs. And then what happens?
I jumped over the garbage can.
Well, you ran right into it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You just ran right into it and hit the garbage can and fell down. So obviously you have a sense of humor too, right?
Like, that's super important. And like I said, that goes hand in hand to showing kids, like, Nick's happy. You know, if people can see Nick happy and joking and not really, like, even worrying about the disability, like, they could. My goal is to just change people's perspective and change their mindset on life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when I go into speeches and seminars or corporations, you know, I tell people my main goal, you know, I want to motivate, I want to inspire you guys, but my most important goal is to leave you refreshed and with a whole new mindset on life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do that just through showing people what I've been through and not to show off, but to show them what they can accomplish with a full body.
Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly.
The potential. You can accomplish the potential.
Without one.
Yeah.
Do you play drums?
I do.
How do you do that?
So actually, I want to get back into the drums, which we should probably jam out.
Yeah.
When I was in first grade, like I said, when people said, "Hey Nick, try this," I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care. You know, I'm gonna try it and I'm gonna give it my all. So the music teacher came to me and said, "Hey, we have an electric. The school can fund an electric drum set. We'll see if you could play it." I said, "Okay." So we got an electric drum set, and you know, you can move the pedals around. So I would sit on the hi-hat pedal and the bass, and I'd play the hi-hat with this leg, with this thigh, and the bass with this leg, and we'd ace bandage the drums. And I was so good at the drums that they moved me into the middle school band.
So what are you holding your drumsticks with?
They would ace bandage.
Ace bandage, so the drumstick.
The only thing, which I'm sure there's more technology out there, that I couldn't have that, like,
yeah,
you know, where you hold the stick loosely.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, remember Wipeout? The Wipeout solo? I could play the Wipeout solo.
Wow.
Doom, 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 doom.
With your short arm, too?
Yeah, doom, 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 doom. But I couldn't do it to the full potential because, you know, if you can let it bounce, it's like, you know? So I want to figure out, I want to get back in the drums. That's a side people don't even know about me.
Yeah, I happen to read that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the famous story about Def Leppard. The guy only has one arm. You're taking it a step further.
Yeah.
You're really showing off to him. You're like, "Hey, buddy."
I'm probably going to get back into the drums.
Yeah, I mean, just, I guess, like you said, I was just wondering how you would hold onto the stick, but with the ace bandaging it on there,
yeah,
you're fine, right?
Yeah. So I played a full set of drums, and I really enjoyed the drums. Remember my arm was longer,
mm-hmm,
and it was in pain, so, like, I would cut the circulation off, it would get infected.
Hmm.
So I stopped playing the drums in about sixth grade, but the idea. I'm going to get back into it.
You would just have to put the drums in the right place,
yeah,
that you can reach it, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about, like how was it for, like, you mentioned that you are a fitness model. How is it with girls? You know a lot of girls?
I do know a lot of girls.
Yeah, I can see by your smile on your face.
Like I said, I look at it this way. The girls either going to not care about the physical differences, mm-hmm, or they're going to care. And for the people that care, those aren't the people that I want to surround myself with.
Right.
I'm basically organically filtering out the right girls that I want to be with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the bottom line. If my six pack and my good looks ain't enough to, like, veer you away from the no legs part, then, hey, that's not the type of person. You're not the type of girl I want to be with. Right. That's how I look at it.
Did you go to, like, your prom and all that stuff?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't have, like I said, I wasn't, you know, I was a wrestler, I was doing the Vine, but I was very kept to myself in high school.
Back then, you didn't have the confidence.
No, but yeah, my confidence, like I said, it's a skill.
So how about now? Do you go on dates? Do you have girlfriends?
I do. I actually, we just went out to, I think the V3 fights, the MMA fights at the Tampa,
mm-hmm,
and I brought two girls, not one, two, and they were both beautiful. So the company was like, "Hey man, like, you showed up with two pretty good girls." I'm like, yeah,
that's what I
we
do.
Do it.
That's what I do.
But
that's,
yeah, man, like I said, from high school to now, I'm a totally different, mm-hmm, beast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
So do you live by yourself?
I do.
So tell me about that. So how does that work as far as, like, cooking or a bathroom and all that sort of stuff?
When I graduated from high school, I actually moved with a roommate to California. And then I found out I didn't want to do the pranking. I moved back home. And then...
Oh, you're going to be like a professional pranker for a while?
That's what I was doing. I was making money off of it. And then I made that announcement. I said, "Hey, I'm going to become a fitness model. I'm going to become a motivational speaker, a keynote speaker, all this stuff." And I said, "You're either going to support it, you don't. I understand that."
Mm-hmm.
And that just goes to show the confidence. I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I was going to do it. And so moving to Tampa, this was the first time I was moving alone. So it's all about being comfortable with getting uncomfortable. And I knew that just throwing myself into the situation that I would adapt. And
why did you come here?
I came here. Chris Cavallini, the CEO of Nutrition Solutions, which is like my big brother. He's been mentoring me for like over 2 years now.
Hmm.
And he's like, "Bro, like, you need to come here. The surrounding yourself with the right people, holding yourself accountable, you know, the environment for your fitness, for your modeling, everything, you need to come here."
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best move in all my careers. And, you know, I even, right now I go in Monday through Friday, 9 to 2, to do just client relations stuff for Nutrition Solutions.
So you work for Nutrition Solutions?
Yeah, I do some like welcoming calls, writing birthday cards, like just like fun, like, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only a stepping stone learning, you know, there's you can learn so much. So if I can just learn everything and anything, it's only going to benefit me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get to be around these amazing people like Chief, that I brought here. I get to be around these amazing people, you know, 5 to 6 days out of the week. And that's only going to help me with my other careers because the environment.
But when you move to Tampa, so what kind of, like, do you just go to a normal apartment, or do you have to find a place with certain amenities into it? Or
I found just I had to find a first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And just like little like stupid things that people wouldn't expect. Like, I just got to make sure there's not a big lip on the door so my wheelchair can get through the, you know, with the motor so I can go over the lip. That's all. But other than that, I adapt everything myself, and I'm pretty proud of myself for how well I've been doing living on my own.
Do you cook?
No, all my meal prep. So like right now I am my first ever my men's physique show, September 9th. It's on Jefferson High School off West Shore, and we're making history here. And all my food comes from Nutrition Solutions, which makes my life like 100 times easier because I can cook. I'm not going to say I can't cook. I have a funny story about grilled cheese, but
let me hear it. What's the grilled cheese?
So I wanted to make, this was back when I lived in Jersey, I wanted to make a grilled cheese and my parents weren't home. They're like, all right, just figure it out. Like, try to figure it out. So like, I'm texting my dad. I'm like, all right, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Took me like 40 minutes to make a grilled cheese. I eat it. I'm like, I should have made two. So like cooking just takes a little bit more time. So like,
oh, once again, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't even know how you would even do that. Like grilled cheese in like a pan.
Getting the chair over to the refrigerator so I could reach it up, and then moving the chair back over the stove and getting on the counter. Yeah,
it takes
so
a while.
Efficient. We want to be efficient. So, Chris hooking me up, Nutrition Solutions hooking me up with my meals. I'm an athlete under them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I always tell people I would never even talk about something if I didn't take it to heart and use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not about putting out a product or something that I wouldn't use. Like having me just going into my refrigerator and having all my meals laid out and I just put in the microwave.
That's good for
that
anybody.
That could put my parents at ease. It puts me at ease.
Yeah.
And I said this at one of the I spoke at the facility. I said, you guys filled that like that little missing void, you know, of Nick, how are you going to feed yourself? I got my team behind me.
Right.
I'm super grateful for
that.
So
that brings the whole, because Nutrition Solutions is a meal preparation company.
Yes.
It takes it to a different level. It makes it a lot easier and almost survival for you.
Yes.
Because you don't have to worry about that.
Yes. And at the same time, it holds me more accountable to put all the right fuels in my body.
Mm-hmm,
I'm taking in the top end food. And like I said, for my competition, my meal prep is customized right now. And they do that. So just hooking me up and just making my life easier.
So when you go for the competition, obviously, are you telling like the judges, whatever, like, here's my situation, here's me?
I have not yet.
You have not?
I don't know if I will.
You're just going to show up there and
so
walk on
funny,
stage?
So it's funny. I emailed the promoters. They already knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making a name in the Tampa area. I mean, I've got a lot of the city behind me. So, you know, I emailed the promoters. I was like, hey, this is my situation. I'm competing. You could tell me no. I'm probably still going to show up. And they didn't. They're like, no, dude, like, this is your, go ahead. Like, there's nothing wrong with this. So whether they communicate that with the judges, that's them. But I'm just going to go out there and shock the world.
So you're going to have, like, you got the posing trunks and all that stuff?
Yeah. I got my posing down. I just got back from Key West. I was out with a bunch of the top physiques in the world, just, you know, training in Key West and filming and having a great old time with posing and everything.
Do you drink at all?
So I just turned 21.
Right, okay.
I turned 21 May 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And, I went out for my 21st, and then no, I don't. You know, especially with the fitness and the bodybuilding, like I said, that doesn't help me with my muscle development, so I'm not going to do it.
Well, interesting for sure. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the pranks. Like I said, like some of the people's reactions were like getting pretty free. Like, did people ever like punch you or get mad at you or?
So the thing is, we just like for the bigger pranks, we make sure we have a team, and you know, when those people's faces aren't blurred, that means they signed a release
a waiver.
So
yeah.
After we like, hey, this is Nick. Like,
so tell me some of the bigger pranks that you did, because we see the one where you came down the aisle and like scare people in the grocery store or whatever.
So one of the biggest ones was I did a prank with Vitaly Zordovetsky. He's a prankster, a YouTuber, and it was called the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prank, and that was. I think a couple years ago it was for Halloween, and I dressed up. I had like fake guts coming out of me. We were in a Beverly Hills parking garage. He was dressed up as a chainsaw massacre, and like I was hanging, and he was like cutting my legs off.
Oh my gosh, and, it's terrible.
That landed me, that video got that has 45 million views on YouTube right now. And that video landed me live on Fox News with Greta.
Greta Van Susteren?
Yeah, we did an interview and I thought she was going to rip me up. What did she didn't.
Yeah.
She just thought it was cool. And I was like, wow, thank you.
But, so you guys are just doing this like in a parking lot and someone walks by? Like, these poor people must be flipping out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, at the time, that was a couple years ago. And now, especially for my safety reasons, I don't prank anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like a funny, like a more like not scary, like holy shit kind of thing.
Because that sort of thing could backfire. I remember a couple years ago,
someone gets shot. Yeah. Like for my own safety, I'm not trying to get shot.
Did anything ever backfire on you? Like, did you ever get a backhand of someone? You're like,
for the most part, we were grateful that we had great people. You know, once I explained the situation and they'd like, oh, this is funny. Like, look, most of the people are like, how are you doing that? Like, how is this real? Like, looking at me.
Is that
a puppet?
Yeah. Right.
So it's cool. Once they understand, man,
I remember a few years ago, did you ever see that one of the clown, like this clown guy with a big giant hammer?
Yeah, and he hits the head.
And he hits the head, which is like explodes. Obviously a dummy, explodes with blood. And like, dude, you're lucky someone didn't pull out a gun and just shoot you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And those are in foreign countries too. So like.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, for safety reasons.
Thinking like when you come around the corner in the aisleway, if I saw you coming at me, I'd kick you or punch you. Like, what the hell is this? You know?
Well, that would just make my views go up. So, am I right?
Am I right? I got kicked
in the face on this prank. I totally posted.
So you're talking about your speaking company, and you said worldwide. Do you go around the world to do speeches?
Yeah.
Or?
So, you know, I'm at the base. I'm building my keynote speaking company. It's very new to me. I've been taking a business approach on things just in these past couple months. So my business is Raw Metal Motivations. And basically that provides my services as a keynote speaker, motivational speaker. I've been going to entrepreneur conventions, speaking, corporations, churches, schools, you name it. I'm just trying to change the world on a whole bigger picture.
Right.
I just got contacted for the Philippines to speak out in the Philippines. I'm trying to go everywhere.
So who's contacting?
Well, I'm going to go everywhere.
Contacting you? Like different companies or
everyone, like
organizations?
Companies, organizations, schools, churches, entrepreneur conventions, anything. And like I said, I'm just trying to get out there, just change the world on a whole bigger aspect than people think I was going to do. So.
Do you speak to other handicapped people or people in different situations like yours?
So actually last month I went out to West Palm Beach to speak at Dr. Paley's Institute, which is an institute where it's a world famous institute where kids go all around. They come in from all around the country. I mean, all around the world, actually. And they go through like bone lengthening. Like if they're like some of these kids aren't, their femurs don't, you know, aren't developed correctly, and they lengthen them with like pins and stuff. And these kids go through like some serious stuff, like serious rehab. And I had the opportunity to go there, and they had like all flyers around for me, like this kid was coming to speak and it was me. And you know, I got to connect with these kids, and like it was like a life-changing moment for me to be able to, you know, to just connect with these kids on that level, to show them that I went through some of this. You know, like the one thing that stuck out to me, you know, afterwards, I told them, you know, like, I don't want thank yous. I like thank yous, but give me a hug. You know, I want hugs from all the kids and all the people. And this little girl, she has a sister, and she was adopted. I think they're from China. And, you know, the one girl, both her femurs weren't developed correctly. So they actually lengthened both her femurs to get prosthetics on them. And but by the age of 14, like they were both in foster homes. By the age of 14, they'll just put them out in the streets. So like she was adopted.
Really?
Yeah, she was adopted. And you know, like they were in line to take pictures with me, and she came up and like just like no hesitation, just a hug. You know, just a real deep loving hug. And to, you know, for me, you know, for a kid to be comfortable with me, cuz you know I am different, but for them to see that they're different and they just don't even see it. Like it all starts as a kid. Like if I can impact these kids, it changed their mindset for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And it was just an amazing experience to just. And there was even like kids there that were siblings of those kids going through that, normal kids, and they would come up and hug me. They had no problem, and it was just I was like, man, definitely That's moved the needle cool. forward, my fulfillment and everything. It was an amazing experience for me. So that was one of the latest things that I did with kids.
That's cool. Is that even a proper term when I said handicapped? Is that even a, do you even consider
like that
yourself
word,
that?
No.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, and I was like, I don't even know if that's probably not even a good word to even say.
I mean, they call me an adaptive athlete. So, I mean, I guess you can call me an adaptive athlete.
Yeah,
other I just call myself a beast. That's how I look at it. You put a barrier in front of me, I'm going to run through it. So there really is no disability or handicap.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's such a kind of a derogatory term in this day and age, right? Disability and disabled and all that sort of thing. Because I think everybody just has different situations.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody's got their thing with, you know, whether it's a health thing or a mental thing. Everybody's got things that they have to overcome.
Absolutely.
Right? And obviously you've overcome most of them. Being as sexy as you are, of course.
Thank
right?
you, brother.
So,
oh, yeah.
Do you watch wrestling? Were you a wrestling fan?
So it's funny because I'm friends with Jinder and Sheamus and all those guys.
Yeah, because they're hooked up with Nutritious
Solutions
too.
So we're boys.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio,
Yeah.
And you know, I went to the latest. The Tampa SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, just
that
last
was my first ever one.
Really? Okay.
And
so you were, like,
I fell in love.
Fan.
I fell in love with one of the NXT girls.
Oh,
just saying. If you hear this,
which
Liv,
one?
Liv.
Oh yeah, well, everyone loves Liv.
I love
blonde
her.
Chick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was she there?
She was.
Okay.
I was like, hey, I love you from the stands. But
from,
that
from
was
the 57th row. She's like, what?
So that was my first event. Some of the Nutrition Solutions guys went out there, and it's really cool because those are your boys out there now. Like,
yeah,
those are my boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, yo, who says I can't go out there, you know, and like jump off the top rope onto someone? I will totally do that.
Hey, man, there was a guy that wrestled for a while that had one leg. His name was Zach Gowen.
Yeah.
And there's another guy, Hornswoggle, who was a little person. He says, call me a midget, but we're not supposed to, you know, a little person.
Yeah.
Those two guys could get to the top rope quicker than I could. A one-legged guy. And a guy who's like, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet tall. Boop, boop, boop. I mean, you could probably get up there quicker.
Yeah.
As
no,
I
that's
could
what
too.
We were sitting in there, and I was like, bro, if I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be like one of those guys. I'm like, I'll fly off the top ropes. Like, you can fling me up and throw me up into the sky or something.
Right?
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
right. Just like,
it'd
pitch
be
you.
Sweet. And the one thing that I noticed, and I take great pride, and I'm happy for my boys, is the WWE fan base. They're so loyal.
Mm-hmm.
You guys
Very
got
much so.
One of the most loyal fan bases. And for me to see that, because I have a fan base, and just mm-hmm. like see like how, I was like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Want to be a part of that.
You know, it's funny with you just put your finger up in the air, and it's like it could be like a pointer finger, or it could be like a middle
off.
Finger.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It could be Dr. Evil, like evil finger. Do you? I was gonna say, do you follow any other sports at all? Are you a sports guy?
I'm a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like football. I take. You know, all at the end of the day, they're all athletes, and I respect all of them because they play at the highest level. So I love all sports.
Right.
And that's why I said with my
part.
Yeah. So with my speaking, like I said, you know, I want to speak to the MLS, and I want to speak to the NHL and the NBA and the NFL, and talk to the athletes because I can connect with them
mm-hmm.
on whole new levels that no one else could connect to.
So listen, you can do a jack of all trades in speaking because you can speak to other athletes, you can speak to other. Adaptive
athletes,
kids, athletes,
yeah.
whatever. You can speak to like vets that have lost their limbs and
everyone,
you know, with the minds and all that sort of thing. I mean, you can speak to the, you know, the model conventions because of how hot you are, all that different
everything, dude. I like that. That's why I said, you know, and that's why I'm excited because I'm in the beginning, the ground floors of my business. You know, I can impact and talk to anyone
mm-hmm.
and connect to anyone and like on any level, you know, from an athlete or kids struggling with, you know, confidence issues or suicide prevention or anything. I've been through a lot. So just for me to be able to have that major, you know, outlet to be able to just interact and you know, show people that, you know, mm-hmm. I went through some of the stuff and here's what I'm doing. You could do it.
Absolutely. It's incredible. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah. So I'm the baby. I have two sisters and one brother. They're all older.
Okay, and
yeah.
How was it with them growing up with them?
Normal. Like I said, the way my parents shaped me, they threw me. I got beat up by my siblings from the beginning. You know,
they never showed like sympathy.
Oh,
or
no.
It was just deal
oh, no.
with this.
It was figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not be here. We wouldn't be talking if I wasn't raised that way. You know, it's all a mental game.
And they must be so proud of you now, huh?
Yeah, we're only getting started, so
yeah.
You know, yeah, I do it for my boys, I do it for my family, my friends, and just, you know, for the world, to just show people what you can accomplish if you really want something.
Last few questions. Are you a Walking Dead fan?
Yeah.
What'd you think of this last season?
Now I'm a bad Walking Dead fan because I haven't caught up.
Oh, okay.
I'm like way behind on all my shows.
Gotcha.
Like moving here and just like got so much going on different business ventures that my TV doesn't turn on anymore, to be honest.
What did you like, The Walking Dead? What else?
The Walking Dead,
Game of Thrones,
Vikings.
Game, I never watched Vikings.
Vikings, Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones is so crazy this season, man. You got to watch it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Sons of Anarchy.
That was a great one.
Sons of Anarchy was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That had great.
Weeds.
I never watched Weeds.
Watch Weeds.
I never watched Weeds. I know Kevin Nealon.
Mary Lou Parker.
Yeah, I know Kevin Nealon, but not the.
Yeah.
Last two questions. One. So, what other goals that you want to do, or other activities? You mentioned you want to get back into playing drums. Is there any other stuff like that you ever thought of?
The books.
Yeah.
I want to release my book within the next couple months. My confidence book.
And so, how do you text or like do you Siri or do you text with your finger?
I'm super fast. I can type super.
And that's how you type. You type your book out like that too. Right?
Yeah. I want to release the book, The Skill and Confidence. And then I want to release like a lower version for a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two books I'm working on now.
What if you have to do a capital letter? We have to put shift something. What do you do for that? Use the short arm.
Yeah.
So do you have a keyboard that can kind of fit
just
that?
I just lean forward.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the books, build like, you know, my main goal is to travel around the whole world to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fact that I'm going to do it and the fact that I know that I'm going to be like speaking in places where they're going to translate my message and I'm touching all like, you know, impacting all these kids and, you know, just I want to go to Africa. I want to do everything, you know, I want to change people on every level that I can. I want to get in the WWE ring. Now that you brought it up, ideas. I'm just going to throw ideas out there. I want to do that.
Okay.
I want to.
We'll throw that out there.
I want to skydive.
I was going to mention that before. I was actually literally going to say skydive. Yeah.
I want to skydive.
Why not? You could do it.
I could do it.
Yeah, just pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, no, I'll go with someone. I'll make sure someone's with me. They'd be like, where's Nick? I'm like,
So last question, if you take, I'm sure probably the Norman Reedus one is up there, but what's your favorite prank that you ever pulled besides the Reedus one?
I did a statue prank.
What's that?
I did a statue prank in Philly or New, I think it was New York. Yeah, New York. And where they basically painted me as a statue, and I sat in where the other statues were, and I had an earpiece in, and people would walk by me, I'd be like, hey, and I'd scare them like that, and that's on there. So if you type in statue prank, it'll be me. I'm dressed up as a statue.
So you're scaring them on two levels, because the statue prank as a whole is scary, and then they see you there, they're freaking them out as well.
Yeah.
What did you do when Vine kind of went down? Did you transfer it to something else?
Or yeah, like, it was tough. I needed to figure out how to go 10 times,
yeah.
10 exit. And that's where I was like, fitness, I'm going to do the fitness thing. And that's where I made that announcement. And, you know, a lot of people unfollowed me and didn't, you know, because they followed me for my pranking videos, which is fine. I knew that was going to happen.
But I'm just saying Vine as a whole is pretty much, right?
Like, No, Vine's deleted now.
There was a bunch of like Vine stars.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, the kids from like Charlotte or something? They were like the biggest ones from Vine. I can't remember what the kid's name was, but I went to some comic book convention once. And there was all these chicks in the lobbies just freaking out as a
MagCon.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pretty Boys of Vine.
What were the names?
The Pretty Boys of Vine.
Whoever. Yeah. I can't remember. You know their names. You're probably looking
Cameron
up.
Cameron Dallas.
That's the one.
Was it?
Yeah, Cameron Dallas. Yeah. And like, there was another guy, whatever.
They transferred to, I mean, they have an amazing, anything they do now, they have success in because of the following.
Because of the Vine, they were able to take it other places.
Oh, yeah. YouTube, yeah. Facebook, modeling,
gotcha.
Modeling, everything. Anything they wanted to do. It was just a good outlet. But like, it's funny because like, I know some of the biggest people on Vine, and the one guy posted the other day, he's like, 9.2 million followers on Vine, and all it has is a shaker cup that says Vine on it. And I'm like, yeah, dude, so it was.
That's
just,
all you got,
it kind of
right?
went shit. It did.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it was just, I had my moment on there. That was a huge outlet for me to, you know, impact kids. It landed me in Tokyo, so.
And here you are.
And here's Vine, yeah, and now we're here.
To go to Tampa.
Absolutely.
And your big competition, man.
September 9th.
That's going to be good.
September 9th, the Iron Bay Classic. We're making history.
What is the weight class, or is it like an age class, or just anybody?
I am in open and novice, and then probably the shortest class, the 5'4", whatever.
Maybe the good looking class. Too.
Definitely that class too.
Nick, you're awesome, man.
Thank you, brother. I'm grateful for the opportunity. And
absolutely,
I appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to seeing where the world takes you.
Oh yeah, man.
All right, man. Thanks. And now, Reflections with Raven.
Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. unless Tommy Dreamer gives them to you, and then you can guarantee that he already ate them all.
For more Reflections with Raven, listen to The Raven Effect on the Jericho Network via the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again to Nick Santonastasso. What an inspirational guy. And best of luck to him this Saturday at his first bodybuilding competition at the Iron Bay Classic in Tampa. He's also working on a book, hopes to have it out in November. He's doing more speaking engagements. He's going to pick up the drums again, go skydiving. A super inspirational brother. And what a great guy, man. It was awesome to meet him in person and get a chance to hang out with him and hear about his life and just how he's conquered all his adversities, how he is, how no is a four-letter word for him. He refuses to take no for an answer. Speaking of taking no for an answer, don't take no for an answer if someone wants you to listen to the Team Tiger show every Sunday morning. Start your week out with the Jericho Network and let us entertain you. Let us entertain you all night long. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Leave everyone a 5-star rating and review. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. The flagship show Keeping It 100 with Conan. And Beyond the Darkness. Get your paranormal fix every weekday with brand new episodes. So much great stuff. Thank you so much for listening, and a thank you to you, most importantly, the Sexy Beast listeners of Talk is Jericho, for supporting all my incredible sponsors, including Bombfell. Go to bombfell.com/Jericho. Get your own personal stylist and get $25 off your first purchase. MyBookie, sign up at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code Jericho to get your deposit matched up to 100%. That's huge. ZipRecruiter, go to ziprecruiter.com/Jericho to post your jobs for free. And of course, Geico, save money on car insurance. Thank you for listening. Keep listening. For the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next, and coming up next Wednesday, comedian, actor, and amazing impressionist Craig Gass is going to be here. Hilarious. Spot-on impersonations of Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, Gene Simmons. Yeah, Gene Simmons. Paul said, "This is Gene Simmons from Kiss." You might also know him from King of Queens with Kevin James. Craig Gass is here on Wednesday, and get ready to get your laugh on, man. So thank you so much for listening. In the meantime, and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy!